on tonight's programme, I'm taking to the Roy Canal to meet bargers and boaters.
The place is locked. Because we've got to drain this lock here so that we can get a boat in. And then we'll fill it up, bring the boat up.
I'm at the Roy Canal locks in Kilcock on an unusually sunny summer morning. We're in the process of opening the lock gates to allow the water to rush through and bring the barges on their journey from Dublin up the canal. This morning, so seven or eight barges are on the trip. Yeah. I went on and met some of the owners.
I'm Colly Dunn, a Dublin man. And I got my P45 about 10 years ago from the X, which I love very much. And I rented until 13 months ago. And then, just the way things happened, I have a budget to buy a boat. And it's the most wonderful experience I've had. I've made so many friends. It's changed my... I know, Fergal, you do seascapes. This has changed my landscape. It has changed me. It's affected me. It's allowed me... In my mind, it's allowed me to flourish. I become myself again because I wasn't myself. And I had a wonderful rental situation. I rented it with my beautiful sister, Alison. But this has just changed me. And look around. Seriously, this is my front and back garden. Friends call around, they jump in, we all cook for one another. It's the most beautiful community I've been in a long, long time.
And you can take your house up and go wherever you want.
It's extremely movable. Now it's slow. If you want to move fast, don't buy a barge.
And what you bought is an absolutely stunning boat. What's she called?
It's called a Trigen. It's a mixture of my two girls' names. Trina is the eldest girl, so it's T-R-I Fada. And the capital J-E-N is the youngest girl, Jenny.
Where did she come from? I see here on the engine it's called Collingwood Boats.
Yeah, she's built. They do a lovely job. It's built in England. And Collingwood do a fantastic job. And we'll go into the inside later on. The inside is fitted out by Liverpool Boats, which is very, very professional. They do. Depending on your budget, they spend whatever you want to spend. Collingwood, you can see it there on the master helm of it. It's a canal line engine. That actually won an award 4 years ago.
Okay.
For the most efficient engine in the world.
It's a diesel engine. It's under our feet here?
Yeah.
Under there?
Under where we're standing here now. This is the stern. So underneath where we're standing here now is the canal line 55 horse. It only uses, what is it? It uses a litre an hour at full steam, right? And it won an award also for the emissions. It's just a really well-kitted out boat. It's fantastic.
Now, it's a lot of boats, 60 foot long.
Yeah, 60 foot long and 12 foot wide. It's a living space. You live in these. If I go from bow to stern on this and cover the whole thing, it's the square footage of a two-bed apartment in Dublin. Beautiful space. Everybody on the boats, it doesn't matter. You can look around you here now, Fergal, as you see different boats. It's not about what we live on. It's about how we live.
Yeah.
It's about how we feel about it. And if you see, all of these boats that are here now today in Kilcock, we arrived down from Casanachas and we all let together last night, we drank together last night, everyone brought food. That's what it's about. We travelled in the rain and the wind yesterday for 6 or 7 hours to get here. So we could tie up, raft off together and enjoy it and live it. It's about making the waterways live again. It's about opening up that artery that was there 200 years ago. Unless we keep travelling, they'll die again. And we want waterways to see that we're not people who just want to, as if we're staying here for nothing. No, it's not about that. It's about wanting to live on the water. It's about wanting to make ourselves alive and the water alive and just enjoy it and bring it back to where it used to be. That's what it's about.
We're going to take a look inside. The workmanship is stunning. As we go...
Mind your head as we go through. Everyone bangs their head when we go through.
Just going down the companionway here, you have your electrics.
You have
two battery systems.
So there's one battery for the engine, which is totally independent because it's the domestics, and then I have three batteries for domestic. So I can actually store enough power for maybe 2 or 3 days I don't have solar at the moment, so I've enough power for 2 or 3 days. If I run the engine for 1 hour a day, I have an electric fridge and freezer in it.
Okay.
I have an electric oven, and I can run it. Walk through.
We take walk through here. And again, it's a very big space.
It's a floating apartment. Everybody that walks in, my two girls came in separately. I remember telling them I'm buying a barge. I said, you're going backwards, man. Because I had a camper van, an old camper van,
yeah.
And they didn't really get it. And they walked in, and the two girls just said, Dad, this is cool.
Yeah.
This is cool.
It is cool, because it is actually like an apartment. Here you have your kitchen with your sink. This wastewater is stored in a tank?
No, the wastewater goes overboard. They call it grey water.
Okay.
I store my storage.
Yeah.
So my storage is stored. My shower water goes into the canal, and we're all very aware we use all the... We don't use fairy liquid and stuff like that,
yeah.
Or normal shampoo. We buy eco-friendly stuff.
Okay. So you got your fridge, your gas hob, your electric cooker, your coffee maker, all the modern luxuries.
This is all done and recyclable, everything.
And the finish, like the roof, the beautiful wood everywhere.
A lot of these Collingwood, the English-built boats, when they're finished, go all around the world. They do a wonderful job. They're so professional. And as Fergal, you said, you can look at the inside of this. It's just, it's magnificent, the finish on it.
So when did you get everything fitted into when you were getting it on done, all one job?
Yeah, I bought, basically, my budget changed as I was buying a boat. And luckily for me, my budget got better and better. And I ended up, I was looking at boats in England, and the Collingwood was what I wanted to go for. And fitted out by Liverpool Boats. And I ended up buying this off a girl in Glasgow, who lived on it for 2.5 years, okay. 2 years. She finished this boat to her specification. Mm. This is the way she wanted it. So I sort of bought her idea. They call this a reverse layout. So you walk into the boat and you don't see your kitchen, you see your living room.
Okay.
Your kitchen's behind you. So you're looking into your living room, which is a lovely aspect on the boat. Quite a large living room.
With a TV?
TV.
How did you transport it from Glasgow to Ireland?
These boats are only insured for a swell of 2.5 feet. And I had to watch the wind and the water, because this boat will only take a 2.5 foot swell. It'll break like a biscuit.
Really?
Okay. She's 60 foot long, 12 foot wide, and it's not made for the open water.
Bringing it back, you brought it up to the Clyde. And that, did they go on a truck then or a ship?
Yeah, I got a crane to lift her out, and she went on a low loader. A guy in a car followed them for 2 days over to Ireland, and they drop it off in Dublin for you. My mum and dad, who are now 89, 13 months ago, we were going over the M50 aqueduct into Castleknock. Oh my God, what have we done? We're sailing over the M50. Where are we going? It was wonderful.
There were difficulties about getting permits to live on board permanently.
Yeah, there is an issue, obviously, around that. And I just don't understand why waterways don't look more favourably. All we want is permission to live the way we want to live.
Also in leaks up that morning is Alistair Moorish. He came here from Zimbabwe.
It's a project, ongoing project, build in progress. We plan to retire on here and then live aboard.
You bought it, it's the same as steel hull. You had the painting outside done. How far along are you inside?
Getting close to being where we want to be finished-wise. There's still cupboards to put in and things like that. But we've got all the facilities in, the power's in, the gas is in, hot water, running water. We've got a rain harvesting system.
And along with your solar panels.
Yeah, the solar gives us, we off-grid totally.
You've kind of got gunnels here or whatever,
exactly,
yeah.
Yeah, and then
for showers, for
washing up and whatever, we don't drink that, no.
Okay, do you filter it in any way?
There's a little filter, but it's not any kind of sort of bacteria filter, anything like that. So we're toying with the idea of dropping in a couple of these bromine tablets,
yeah,
which would keep it cleaner, I suppose, but we're not really worried at this stage. You know, coming from Africa, I've drunk a lot of bad water.
You came from Zimbabwe?
Yes, yeah. Originally born in Zimbabwe.
How long ago did you leave there?
2008. Okay. Came here 2009. Do you want to come and have a look around?
The solar, just before we go, sure. How much power do you get from that?
Well, it's rated 1100 watts, but that would probably be on a very good day, and that would be per hour. They have a limited efficiency, so you don't get that much, but it's enough to keep us going. We've got enough power for microwave, toaster, vacuum cleaners.
Okay, you know, so, that's a lot.
We've got everything going, you know. And we can't run everything at the same time, so we kind of juggle it, you know, and we have a look at how full are the batteries. I've got an app on my phone that tells us, you know, what we're using at what rate, how full the batteries are, etc. So
we're going to take a look inside.
Okay. Up to you, jump.
Thanks.
Ahead as you go.
Yeah.
We're getting on, as I say. So the walls up. This wall, for example, is still going to be taken down. All the dowels that we put in. We've used dowels instead of screws.
Okay. Why is that?
We're trying to stop any cold coming into the boat. We find that I've been involved with building, and any time you have a metal cut in the wall, it tends to attract the cold. You get a little bit of moisture on that, and then you start getting a little bit of mold growing on that. So, you know, we're going to do things as best we can. So trying not to put any nails and screws that'll transfer any heat in or out of the boat, you know.
But you've got all your dry lining done. There's a little bit more finishing on the walls.
Yes, yeah. We've got to finish up these panels here. But that's so we can have recessed lighting in there.
Okay.
There'll be recessed lighting in the middle panel too.
How long do you think it would take you from start to finish to fit this out?
Well, we started with the raw boat in November. And that was foam everywhere. And so we've had to fare all the foam back level with all those wooden battens you can see on the roof there. So all of this had to be done. That took us about a month. But that was November, so it was a couple of hours every evening, freezing cold, working up a sweat inside, yeah. And then we started with, you know, the build. And then it was just a couple of hours every night for a while. Then, you know, fortune sort of swung in our favor in terms of the lockdown. When the lockdown happened, they said, right, stay at home. So we stayed at home, and we live in Leekslip, and the barge was moored up at Confi. So we were able to travel up to the barge and then work flat out on the barge for the last 2-3 months, okay. You know, without sort of having to go off to work and things like that. So we did get ahead a lot, you know.
What's the lifestyle like being on a barge for a length of time you don't live on board full time?
It's fabulous, really. I mean, your garden becomes the whole canal way, you know. So it's kind of, your world is a lot more expanded. Rather than staying in a house with just a tiny little garden, etc., you've got neighbours. But yeah, so living on the canals is absolutely a dream. It's very, very lovely. You can go for long walks uninterrupted, and got ducks to feed and swans, etc. So yeah, we love it. Yeah.
Tracy, you're from South Africa. How did you end up in Ireland?
My husband brought me here. But we wanted to bring our children over, so that was one of the reasons.
Mm. Yeah. What's the lifestyle like being on the canals? It's a beautiful morning here.
It is lovely. We tend to spend more time outside than we did when we were in the house. You know, we'd get home from in the evenings after work, and we'd be in the lounge in front of the TV. Whereas now we tend to sit out on the deck. We have our supper out on the deck. Very often we sit up on the roof. You've got all the wildlife. We've been looking after the ducks and... No, it's lovely. We've got cameras now that we put under the water so that we can view the fish. And yeah, we've been keeping up on all. We've got wildlife cameras that we stick outside so we can see what's going on the canal.
What kind of wildlife have you seen?
Well, we've got down at Confi, we've got, oh, of course, the ducks, and then we've got our resident, I think it's a little crane. It's like a blue crane.
Okay, heron.
Heron, yeah. We call it, it looks similar to our blue crane, so we keep getting it confused. But yeah, it's mainly just that. We had a squirrel run across our deck for one day, and odd foxes and that sort of thing.
When you're travelling now, you're leaving here shortly, it's slow.
It is very slow. I mean, it took us, coming from Confi to Maynooth took us about 5 hours the other day, and then yesterday was another 4 hours just from Maynooth to here. So it is a slow trip, but then it's nice because you're still looking. We saw another heron yesterday. It was sitting right next to us. It didn't budge. And then, of course, the swans were following us. And so it's lovely. You get to see the flowers next to the canal and see the fish swimming there to try and chase you and things like that. So it is lovely. You don't actually even notice the time going.
Yeah. Is there much traffic on the canal? Do you meet anybody coming against you?
No, we haven't, unfortunately. And it would be lovely because there is a good community on the canal. We found it, you know, just there where we've been moored. We know everybody. Whereas we were living in an estate with 100 people and we knew 3 people. Whereas there we knew everybody on the boats. So it is a totally different thing. And it would be lovely for the canal itself, because the weeds and that grow up wouldn't be there if there was a lot of traffic.
Sure.
So we battle a little bit with the weeds coming up, but it would be nice to meet new people as well.
Derek owns another boat nearby. He's in an earlier stage of the build, and he took me down below to have a look at how much work there is to do.
Okay, the boat is a brand new boat built by Collingwood Boat Builders in Liverpool. The transporters are over here. It's a brand new engine, brand new hull, but empty. They come empty inside. So they're called sailaways, and then you build and fill out the interior yourself to suit yourself.
Okay, so
it's 60 foot by 12 foot.
It's a big boat.
It is a big boat, yeah.
Now, it's insulated here.
Yes. Yes, spray foam insulation. They come spray foam insulated and battened out.
Okay.
So the battens are in already.
The engine is here?
The engine is in the engine bay.
The electrics?
The electrics we have to install ourselves. We have an inverter here.
Yeah.
So we've got 3 ledger batteries that sends power to the inverter, which is then converted then from 12 volts to 220 volts.
And this is the way now people buy these boats. You buy them bare and you do them yourselves.
You do, yeah. Yeah. Or you can buy it completely finished, but then it's a lot more costly.
Is it a lot of work to finish one?
I think it depends on how good you are. Do it yourself.
Okay. Like, it's carpentry, obviously.
Carpentry and all that kind of stuff, yeah.
So you've already put some of your extra insulation here?
Yeah, we have the lower walls, one of the upper walls, and we have the bulkhead for the bathroom and the bedroom.
How long do you think it's going to take you to do this?
Probably about 3-4 months, maybe 6 months.
Well, that's very quick.
Yeah. That's if you're going at it, you know, constantly.
We're at the moment now, we've got dry lining there.
Yeah.
How are you going to finish it?
Okay.
What's your dream?
Well, we'll finish the roof with tongue and groove, and then all the LED lights. So everything, just the 2 electrical systems. There's a 12 volt for all the lights and the pumps.
And are you very skilled at this kind of thing?
If people are listening, could they
tackle something like this?
Yes, they could. If you're even a little bit handy, you could tackle it yourself.
Would you intend living here?
Oh yes, no, not here, but down back in Castlemarle. So yeah, the community is very good. Everybody helps everybody out.
Mm.
It's just a lovely lifestyle, it really is.
Thanks to all the boaters I met on the Royal Canal. I'll be back there shortly because I'm going to take one or two trips with them. The canal itself was a huge infrastructure project when it was first built. Hugh Orham has some of its history.
The Royal Canal, which connects Dublin to the Shannon, was one of the great engineering feats of the late 18th and early 19th centuries. Curiously, the Royal Canal has never had the same cachet as the Grand Canal, but despite this, it has a fascinating history that is often little told. The Canal Company originally wanted to use a series of rivers and lakes between the Shannon and the Liffey, but this plan never worked out. One of the directors of the Canal Company had other ideas, and these prevailed, which meant building a canal along a different route from Clundara in County Longford to Dublin. And it was this alternative scheme that came to pass. Construction of the canal began at Crossguns Bridge in Phibsborough, still there today, and the canal went in a westerly direction towards Ashtown. It took a further 27 years for the canal to reach the Shannon. The total cost of construction was about £1.5 million. If the canal were to be built again today, the cost would be up to 100 times as much. But construction proved exceptionally difficult, and the first company to try and construct the canal went bust in 1794. There was another complication too. The Duke of Leinster, who was a director of the canal, insisted that the canal pass through his hometown of Maynooth. The builders had to divert from their original plan and build a very deep cut between Blanchardstown and Clonsilla, while the Rye Water Aqueduct had to be built at Leakslip. The canal had to cope with another disadvantage. There are only half a dozen sources of water for the Royal Canal, compared to over a dozen for the Grand Canal. Loch Oule remains the main source of water for the canal, as well as recirculated water from the Cullion fish farm. In recent years, Waterways Ireland, which has responsibility for the canal, has been pumping water into the canal from the River Inny near Abishrool, but maintaining water levels on the canal remains a big problem. In one section of the canal, known as the deep sinking, the canal runs well below the level of the footpath and in places is quite narrow and dangerous. In one serious accident in 1845, 16 people drowned when their boat hit a rock in the canal in the middle of the night. In this section of the canal, the towpath was so high above the canal that horses were often pulled into the deep cutting below to meet a watery end in the canal. Today, the canal links such places as Maynooth, Kilcock, Enfield, Mullingar and Ballymahon, while it's also a spur to Longford. It's a long canal, 145 kilometres long, with a total of 46 locks. 8 years ago, the then minister responsible for the canal, Leo Varadkar, came up with a novel idea. He wanted to develop the towpaths so that more cyclists and walkers could use them, counteracting the low levels of use for the canal itself. About 40 years after the canal first came into use, traffic on the canal in the 1830s was quite reasonable in terms of both freight and passengers. It was carrying about 80,000 tonnes of freight a year, as well as 40,000 passengers, both quite reasonable figures. But boatmen long believed that the 13th lock was haunted. But by the early 20th century, traffic on the canal had almost fizzled out. CIE took over the canal in 1944, but eventually it fell into disuse. Then in 1974, volunteers from the Inland Waterways Association of Ireland formed a group to save the canal. Within less than 20 years, they had got a large section of the canal reopened for navigation, and 20 years ago, the canal was taken over by Waterways Ireland. Then, 10 years ago, the whole length of the canal was reopened. It's now under the care of Waterways Ireland. In very recent times, parts of the towpath have had to be closed due to surface damage, but you can still go kayaking on the canal in the Leakslip area. The canal was also immortalised by Brendan Behan in his song, The Old Triangle. He wrote that the old triangle went jingle-jangle all along the banks of the Royal Canal. With the canal well restored and the towpath in good condition, it looks like the Royal Canal is going to become a major tourism amenity, even if the chances of substantial boat traffic ever returning are slender, to say the least.
Hugh Oram. And that's it for Seascapes for this week. We're back at the same time next Friday. Everything on the programme is podcast on our website, rte.ie/seascapes. And I thought I'd leave you tonight with that song mentioning the Royal Canal, The Old Triangle, and Luke Kelly.
A hungry feeling came o'er me stealing, and the mice were squealing in my prison cell. And the old triangle went jingle jangle all along the banks of the Royal Canal. To begin the morning, a screw was ballin', get up, ya bowsy, and clean up your cell.
and the old triangle went jingle jangle all along the banks of the Royal Canal. The lads were sleeping, Humpy Gussie was creeping, as I lay there weeping for my gal Sal. And the old triangle went jingle jangle all along the banks of the Royal Canal. Up in the female prison there are 75 women. 'Tis among them I wish